Chavez. He's a, yes, a wonderful brother. These guys worked so, so hard. Amen. The Lord bless you, man. Make them give, okay? No, I'm joking. I'm joking. God.
Well, good morning. Most of you know my name is Steve Chavez, and my wife, Carol, and I have been taking teams into Mexico to help the needy and the homeless for a while now. Today just happens to be Mission Sunday, and it's the third Sunday of every month when we take up an offering to help the needy and the homeless in Mexico, but we're not going to do that just yet. For the last 3-4 years, we've been using February's Mission Sunday to report back to you all the things that we're able to do in Mexico as a result of God's faithful hand and your faithful support. Proverbs 19:17 says, "One who is gracious to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his good deeds." You guys, in 2019, have been gracious to the poor. You've done so much for the work in Mexico, not just in your faithful giving, but you see in a few minutes the many ways that you have touched lives and many people. That is what we hope that you see today, how lives have been changed. Our work in Mexico has been in two areas, building houses and supporting an orphanage. First of all, I'd like to give a little summary about the houses. We've been going to Reynosa for about 6 years and have built 18 houses. We've come to know some of these people fairly well. We've seen joys and the struggles that they go through on a daily basis. We've seen houses built, and we've seen houses destroyed. We've seen new babies, we've seen people pass away. We've seen marriages, and we've seen breakups. We've seen people very, very sick, and we've seen people getting saved. We've seen relationships restored, and we've seen many, many people that we have been able to pray for. Today, we'll take a look at houses 17 and 18 that were built last year, in 2019. A little bit about the orphanage. The orphanage is in Camargo, Mexico, run by Pastor Luna and his wife, and a young lady by the name of Deanna, which we'll see more about her in a few minutes. We've been going there for about the last four years. When we first went to the orphanage, the good story, Pastor Luna came up to us and he says, "You know, we feel like we're on life support, on an oxygen tank, and our oxygen is running out. There's been nobody to really support them, and they just have no way to fill it back up." And then he said, "When people of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, began to support us, we saw that our tank was filled back up, and we were able to breathe again." The group, a lot of groups have quit working out in Mexico because of the violence. So the place is pretty run down. We've done a lot of maintenance, but there's still plenty to do. We've seen kids grow from children into teenagers. We've grown to know them much more in a personal way. And a really neat thing is we've been able to see them grow spiritually. First of all, what we'd like to do is show a short little video about the houses.
December of 2013 came the opportunity to start building houses, teaming with a local guy down there who had a ministry, Roy Busby and his family. And we built houses in the Colonia outside of the main city there. And it's literally a couple of miles across the border, and you wouldn't believe how stark a difference it is. The poverty, the no running water, cardboard as part of the structure of the house. It's not a secure, healthy, sanitary place. And due to the funds that were provided by the congregation here at Calvary Chapel of Fort Worth, it enabled us to go down and build, have a foundation built. build this house. It's a coming together of various members from the church who come down and volunteer their time, and each one has different skills. The skills that we bring may be a trade that we practice here at our jobs here in the States. So we have some that are electricians, carpenters, and then there's people that have attention to detail. In my case, I'm attention to detail, so I'm the guy who does cutting of all the wood to the precise angles and lengths that are requested by the people who are actually putting up the structure and nailing it together and all. But we've also had the opportunity to serve in different roles. And so, as it says in Romans 12, how we are all given various gifts by God. But the key is that we're to use those gifts. They should not sit dormant. They should not be just something that is given. It should be exercised and practiced. So anyone can go down there. And some of those who may come and feel like they don't have a specific trade or specific ability to build a house, there's so much more that can be done. Painting, everyone can paint, maybe not as precisely or detailed, but just putting some paint on some wood. And also we have team members who are ministering to the families there, the families that we're building. It's been also another beautiful thing to observe. While my Spanish is not very good, I still am able to speak the language of love with the kids and with the family that's there. And I know a little bit of Spanish. And the key for it is just having that attitude of service and willingness to serve in whatever capacity is needed on the team.
But one thing really stands out to me most of all is the people who are so grateful, genuinely grateful. You go there to bless them. And they're like, they'll come to you and they have nothing, but they will give you the food that they have. They'll make beans and rice to feed you at lunchtime. And it always staggered me, because in their poverty, they give of their lack. And I look at us, we give out of our abundance. And it just really kind of, it shakes you sometimes when you see someone who has nothing that gives you everything they have as part of gratitude. And just to see the transformation in their lives, to go out of the dirt into a home that's sheltered from the rain and that's dry. They always know that the home's not from us. No. See their faces when they walk, they open that door and they walk in. And not only is it a structure that's made, but then it's furnished. It's a home. It's overwhelming. And that never gets old. That is something that that's the most amazing, one of the most amazing things. Just you can see it. And see the joy in someone's face that has something that not everybody has. And I know you were a part of that. That's a blessing, you know. It's, you know, I always say it's not fair. We go down, honestly, everybody, the whole team has an absolute heart to bless everyone we go down to see. But it's really wild how God blesses you back. And blessing that comes back, it's almost like not fair, right? Because I mean, it's really cool to see a team go down, and it is a unified heart to be a blessing and a light to that community. And know how the Lord blesses you back. It's just amazing.
You know, just a funny story. I think I was house 15. One of the little old ladies, well, she's not real old, but anyway, she was kind of old. I remember going up to her and asking her, well, how many grandchildren do you have? And she goes, ni sé, unos veintitantos. She says, it's like, I don't know, like 20-something, she said. She didn't even have any idea. She was. Anyway, okay. Last year, we were able to build two houses for two needy families. So that first family, we built a house for Raul and Nancy and their two small children. They were living in pretty much just a small tin shed. Nothing much bigger than what you would put your lawnmower in or your garden tools. No windows, no plumbing, no nothing. We were able to build them a house. Much nicer. Not too far. Can you go back one? So a place where they could raise their two young children. A quick story about Raul and Nancy. We went back in October to build house number 18. And what we like to do is we like to go back and visit the previous house that we built for. And we went in to their house, Nancy's house, and we knocked on the door and nobody came to the door. And we thought, well, maybe she's not even here anyway. So we knocked on the door again, and finally she came to the door and she was, I mean, just rubbing her eyes. She had just woken up, and we were like, oh, no, we woke her up. Come to find out, she had just gotten home from her first treatment of chemo. She had had breast cancer since we had been there last. And we felt so bad about waking her up. Anyway, we were so thankful that we were able to stop, take some time, and pray with her. Pray for her healing and just pray for comfort. And we're looking forward to going back and just seeing how she's doing. So that's the first house. Second house was for another family with three children. This house was sitting in a flood zone, as you can see there. The water comes right up to the slab there. That's where their house. They lived there for 14 years. Every time it rained, water would rise and go right in the house. Not a good situation at all. We were able to build them a house in a much higher place where they never had to worry about floodwaters again. It was a huge blessing to them. Let's see the next. Yeah, that's her with her three kids and one of the neighbors there. But she was very, very thankful that she got, you saw in that video how thankful she was when she went into her house. And it says, we are very thankful for all the things that you all donate to furnish these houses. It makes a big difference for them as they turn their houses from houses into homes, as you saw there in the video. Okay. Well, those are the houses that we were able to build in 2019. And now a little bit about the orphanage. We made 5 trips to visit the kids at the orphanage last year. Again, the orphanage is in Camargo, Mexico, run by Pastor Luna and his wife. Today, there are 18 children. The past 2 years, there's only been 14. Last year, they gained 5 kids. There's never a dull moment at the orphanage. So much gets done when the teams go to visit, and the teams have worked very hard there in the last 4 years. So, now we'd like to share a little bit about the orphanages in the video.
So what's the day of a typical mission trip at the Casa Hogar? Well, we always get up early, get some coffee, get some breakfast, drive to the Pastor Luna's place, and then we cross the border. Once we get there, there's the meet and greet. It takes a while, but there's always a project or projects that are prepared or ready for us to work. Sometimes we're working on a garden, or we're putting up a chicken coop, or we're repairing a room here, we're putting up windows, or fixing doors. There's all kinds. There's always, there's never a lack of projects at Casa Hogar. It's a big facility. So part of it is working on projects. People with different skills take and work in their different areas. But there's also times for activities. We're playing games. We could do lessons with drawing or pictures or the word. We always bring the word of God. So there's worship, there's praise, there's teaching, and there's prayer. And then there's always the fun stuff. There's water balloon fights or whatever. But just building relationships is really the best part in this whole mission trip to Casa Hogar. You know, you look at each one of these kids, we don't know what horrors or stories that they've had in their lives. We don't know what kind of hurt they've got. But we know that Jesus Christ is one who heals the brokenhearted and sets the captives free. And that's our prayer for each one of these, that that hope that we have for them can be a reality, and that they can go forward with hope and joy, that God loves them, and that they can succeed in the days that are ahead for them.
Our mission as a team and our purpose is to go and share God's love and to be examples of God's love. And God puts together the perfect team every trip to do just that. But now I've noticed that it's not just us. It's these children that are, the love of Jesus is shining through them. And now they're being examples of God's love to us. And it's so beautiful. They're just so loving to everyone. Even if you've never been on the trip before, they welcome you with open arms like family. Because we are family. And I think a big part of that is because they trust us. They know that we're coming back. Most of these kids, they need that. They need that comfort and that constant support and that that knowing that we will return, because most of these kids, all these kids, have been abandoned at some point of their life by people who were supposed to love them the most, but they've now received a love that is so much greater and that will never abandon them. And you can see that in their walk now. They've grown so much more spiritually, and this last trip, it was truly beautiful to really witness that. Towards the end of the trip, they had put together these worship songs for us, and they wanted to perform for us. And at the beginning, you could tell that it was a performance. They were performing. But then somewhere in the middle of this worshiping, they turned their focus on Jesus, and they were completely just worshiping Him. And even though I don't know the language, and I couldn't understand every word of the songs that they were singing, it was just beautiful to see, because even if you don't know what they're singing, you could tell their meaning, what they were singing, and that they were really, truly worshiping their Father. And it was just so beautiful. One of my favorite parts during this last mission trip is seeing how much of a servant's heart each one of them has. They're just so willing to get in there and serve with us and help in anywhere that they can. And it's just so wonderful to see how much they've grown up from these timid and shy kids when we first went to this orphanage to now these kids that just want to serve with us and love on us and be there with us every minute that they can. And it's beautiful because we want to be with them every minute that we can while we're there. And I think I can speak for everybody that's been on these missionary trips, that every single time we leave and it's that last day, we don't want to go. Those kids steal our hearts every single trip, and it's just beautiful to see them waving us goodbye and how much they don't want us to leave. One picture that just always sticks in my head in this last missionary trip, these kids, they have this gate that surrounds the orphanage, and they were out there waving goodbye as we're loading in the vans, and their hands were sticking through the gate, and they just kept waving until we were completely out of sight. And it was really just this beautiful and bittersweet moment that, you know, you can see how much they love us and how much they appreciate us coming. But then this, and it's sad to leave, but then you know that you're going to come back, and they know that you're going to come back. And the next trip is going to be just as special and just as beautiful. And it's just so amazing to see how the Lord's hand is in every aspect of every single trip and how different each trip is. And it's beautiful.
Weren't those videos done very well? That was a good job. Thank you so much to Abby Statman for all the hard work she's put into this. So just some of the things that the teams have done. We've replaced ceiling fans. We've replaced lights, doors, kitchen cabinets. We've taken them tables, planted trees in the fields. We've done a lot of digging for looking for plumbing leaks, and we've remodeled two living areas. And other things that you have provided through your faithful giving is you've supplied school uniforms for a lot of the new kids that have just recently been there. We have provided plumbing services, and even one of the boys had to have surgery to remove a growth on his neck, which otherwise might still be growing if not for your support. We've also received donations from everyone, like clothing, shoes, blankets, toiletries, backpacks, canned food, sewing machines, sewing materials, pillows. All of these things help to make their lives just a little bit better and a little easier, a little more enjoyable. But I'd like to take a few minutes to share with you how we continue to change their lives, and especially of how the kids that have just come in the last year. We look back and we see the many things that have been provided, but what you might not see is how you've made an impact on the lives of these kids. As you saw in the videos, the teams always take a Bible lesson, play games, and spend time with the kids. We see these kids, see their smiles, but now I want to put a name to the kids that you support there at the orphanage. So first of all, I'd like to introduce you to Brianna. As you can see, she was brought to the orphanage last year in January with black eyes, scraped up face, and she had been abused at home. She was very quiet and very shy when she was brought there first. Today, she's a lot better off. She's not very shy and she's not very quiet anymore. She's in school and full of life, and she is loved. She's the spoiled little sister in the bunch, and she is a treasure. And that's Brianna. You can see how she is growing right up. Oops. This is another little girl that we have not even met yet. She's only been there for a few weeks. She has a similar story like Brianna's. About a year ago, she was separated from her family. She was sent to her grandparents, and she spent the last year with her grandparents. And her grandparents took her back to the Child Protective Agency and said, "We can't take her anymore. We can't do it." One of the great, neat things that happened is she was taken back to the orphanage. The reason is because this is Brianna's big sister. There you can see how they've been reunited and just as happy as ever. I think right there in that situation, Brianna's still in charge, but I'm not sure. It probably won't take very long before Stephanie takes over. It's very neat that we could see how they could be reunited, and now that they're in a place where they're loved and where they're taken very well care of. So now you see Brianna and Stephanie. This is Camila and Fernanda. Camila is 9 years old and Fernanda is 7. Last May, they came to the orphanage because their mother did not want them. They were dropped off just with the clothes on their back. Their mother didn't even turn around to say goodbye when she left. In September, the mother came back and wanted him back. This time they had a choice. Camila chose to stay at the orphanage. Fernanda chose to go back with her mom. The story is that Fernanda is now with an aunt. The mom didn't even want her anymore. But Camila is blossoming there at the orphanage. She's going to school and being very well taken care of. And she is very well. This here is San Juanita. She's a 13-year-old that came to the orphanage last year, and she was very abused. She goes to the same school that the kids go to in the public schools, and she would ask the kids all the time, can I go live with you guys? I mean, you guys are always happy, and the place I live is just a mess. My mom, the story is that they make her sleep outside and on the floor, and it's just terrible. Finally, the Child Protective Services were able to go in and get her a better place to live. Took her to the orphanage, and now she's being taken care of. The story goes that when she spent the first two or three nights at the orphanage, that she went to Pastor Luna and said, I can't believe I have my own bed with blankets in it. Can't tell right there, but San Juanita has some problems with her teeth, and she gets bullied a lot at school because of that. But the rest of the kids that go to the same school are always sticking up for her, and plans are being made to get those teeth straightened. So that's another thing that we can do. You can see she's a little more happy. This here is Maria. She's 13 years old. And Maria also came just a few months ago from an abusive home. Maria ran away often from her mom because of the abuse that she got at home. When she was brought to the orphanage, they said they found her roaming the streets. And she had been on her own for 2 days without a place to stay and with no food. She was brought to the orphanage, and they didn't know where she was from. A few days later, her mom showed up because she figured out where she was, but Maria refused to go back with her mother. Because of the abuse, the child services turned her over to Pastor Luna, and now she is doing extremely well. Happy to have a safe home. And we are very thankful to God for those two, for God to be with her for those 2 days, because who knows where she might be if a child trafficker or the cartels would have found her first. God is good. This little guy, we haven't even met either. And he is, well, I don't know who he is. We don't know his name. He's 18 months old. And he was brought to the orphanage just a few weeks ago. He was found alone. Story is that his mom and two other women were out with a guy, and some guys came, and the guy they were with took off running. The bad guys murdered the mom and the two ladies she was with, and the little baby was just left on the street. The neighbors found him crying there on the road and took him to the child services department, and just not find any place that anybody that would take care of him because of his age. They finally took him to Pastor Luna, and he said, well, that's what we're here for, to take care of kids. Bring him in. So since then, he's been cared for at the orphanage with Pastor Luna. But in order to keep him, Pastor Luna has to hire people to take care of him 24/7 because of his age, and he's not potty trained yet or anything. This girl here is one of the girls we just saw, Monse. This girl here is Reina. And these two girls were in the same situation as that little boy. They were brought to the orphanage in diapers and not potty trained at all. And they had to get them too. That lady there on the lower left, her name is Marta. And she was the caregiver for Reina and Monse when they were first brought in. And I'm pretty sure she has something to do with taking care of this little boy. She's still there. She still takes care of the kids. And she feels like a mother to these kids, which she should. We also found out that this little boy now has three mothers, one for every eight-hour shift. Who knows how many babies like this have been abandoned? Thankfully, this one was found and placed in a loving home. We know about him, but we still don't know his name. Things don't always go the way we want them to go. Just like where we're building houses and things fall apart and haven't gone well, same thing happens at the orphanage. This guy here, his name is Ivan. He's a 16-year-old. And he has two brothers that live there at the orphanage with him. They've been there about 5 years. Ivan is very talented, loves to sing, play the guitar, but he always stays in the background and a lot of times getting in trouble, not just at school but at the orphanage. Past May, when Carol and I spent that month down there at the orphanage, we spent some time with him, getting to know him. He was really coming along, interacting with us and with the other kids. And at first, he didn't want to help, but came around and he was doing pretty well. During the summer, Ivan has drifted away and started causing trouble with the other kids and at the orphanage, sneaking out at night and not doing good things. He eventually had to be moved to another facility where he could be helped better. This is when you know that what you have to do is pray. Pray that God will change his heart. Pray for Ivan. And I'd like to ask each one of you to keep him in your prayers. And here, I mentioned about Deanna earlier. She's a story in herself. She was taken to the orphanage when she was 13 years old. She graduated from high school and went off to Bible college for 4 years at Rio Grande Bible College. She is now a caregiver for the kids 24/7. She lives right on the place. Pastor Luna tells her she really needs to find a godly boyfriend and get on with her life, but she says, no, no, that will come in God's time. This is another success story from the orphanage. See, she graduated from the orphanage, went to college, became a teacher in the public schools, and returns to the orphanage quite often to see how she can help. She mentors the kids, and she gives the staff much-needed breaks. We found out on our last trip that she is now engaged and will be getting married soon. All of these kids are just wonders, just like Jesse was saying earlier. And isn't that an amazing gift from God? So, now you know that without your help, these kids may not have a safe place to live, or may not have the loving care that they get, or they may not even hear that God loves them. The teams that go down to Mexico take the love of Christ to them, and that they may not receive because they show them love and putting your giving to work. You are the ones that put the oxygen back in the tank to help them get a renewed hope in life and a new vision for their futures. So, we're coming to the end of our time here. And I'm reminded of what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:6. Crafty fellow that I am. Why did he say that? Well, why do I say that? Because we waited till the end to take up the offering. We haven't taken up the offering for these kids yet because I wanted you to see that what you do and how you give makes a big difference in the lives of these kids. You know that who knows where they would be if not for your generous support that you give. Most of you know Carol and I are planning to move to Rio Grande City later this year, and we would like to see how we and the orphanage together can be involved more in the community, how we can serve the people in the area where the orphanage is located. Teach the kids that it's not only receiving, but also giving back and showing God's love to the neighbors, their towns, their cities, all around them. I'm sure that as we as a church can continue to help, we can make a difference in the area. In Acts 20:35, it says, In everything I showed you that by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak. And remember the words of Jesus that he said himself. It is more blessed to give than to receive. I pray that what you have seen today has been a blessing to you because of all that you've given. Thank you.
Well, I am so thankful for all that God has done and all that God is doing and all that God is going to do. Amen. And I am so thankful for Steve, Carol, all the team, all that's happened. You know what's so wonderful is that everyone at this church that knows anything about Steve and Carol or the mission team, we have been witnesses how God has equipped them, enabled them, and empowered them to do a great work in Mexico. Amen. And let's thank the Lord for that right now. God is so good. You know, and what's so wonderful also is how the, hello? Did you hear something? Never mind. I thought maybe the Lord was speaking to me about something. You know, what's so wonderful now is that Steve and Carol, of course, they're embarking on a new adventure. They're going to be moving, as he just said, to Rio Grande City, working more and more with the orphanage, a greater investment there. But more than that, a greater investment in the city of Camargo, 14,000 people that are there. Who knows the doors that God is going to open beginning this year in that area? I mean, how do we know how God is going to use Steve, Carol? We may raise up another church in Mexico, amen? God, who knows what God is going to do? We may, a year from now, we could be standing here going, guess what? We're launching our first crusade in the city of Camargo. See, you just don't know. Or maybe God will be leading us deeper into the interior of Mexico. See, this is just an adventure, and that's what all the time I get so excited about. You know, we are a blessed church, amen? We are a blessed people. You know, I would say exceedingly abundantly blessed. You know, those that work and labor in Mexico, especially there along the border, you know, the average pay is about $5 a day, and that's the 2020 statistic for the average worker there. And you know, when we think about how God has given you, have me, all of us, the privilege of loving the children, loving families and furnishing their homes and building their homes, providing love and medical support, like Steve was talking about the young boy that had that operation and so forth. All the things that you are doing, that this church is doing, giving them a future. A home, a warm bed, food, well, all the things. And so I know that Steve's already told you that I'm getting ready to take up an offering, and some of you are going, yeah, I can feel it. Loved one, can I say something to you? Listen to me very carefully. When I take up an offering, it's not for Calvary Chapel. It's for 100% of the work that happens at the orphanage in Mexico. And we're not taking up an offering to, we're laying up treasure. Amen. When we do these things for the Lord, the things that we're doing, we're laying up treasure in heaven. This giving is an investment, if you believe that or not. That's a true word. And you know what a poor Christian is, or a poor church is a church that does not give. The Bible says in the 2 Corinthians, it tells us in 9:6, it says, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Listen, God loves a cheerful giver. You know that. I know that. And you know, when I think about the rich young ruler, how he went out and Jesus, you know, fell down at Jesus' feet and said, oh, Lord, you know, all these commandments I've kept and so forth. You know, Jesus looked at him, loved him, and he said, well, listen, go sell everything you have, everything. Give it to the poor. You will have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. You know, that's what we do. God cares about the poor. You know, we used to be able to give over $10,000 a month to the work that we did in Mexico. That's not happening today. I would give anything to see that happen again. And it's not. And we had less people back then than we do now. And so I just pray, you know, that maybe you're, the tithe receipts have been, you're mailed out, I guess, by now. I mean, were you excited to see how much you gave to the Lord, or were you embarrassed? No, listen. You know, the things that we can do if this church would truly, all of us give, not only to the local here, but also to the work that we do in Mexico. Listen very carefully as I read this letter. It's from a radio listener out in Terrell, Texas, and he's just a wonderful brother. I just got this the other day. He says, "Dear Pastor Quinn," he says, "I've been thinking a lot lately about how much the Lord has blessed me in material things." He said, "You know, most people, myself included, we have plenty of choices about what we're going to have for dinner. And then we just sit down, we eat, rarely ever thinking about the fact that so many people have no idea when they'll eat again." That is a true word for Mexico, amen? He says, "Mothers crying themselves to sleep at night because they have no means to feed their children or take care of them. And there are so many other scenarios that could be added to this list." He says, "I haven't been very faithful with my finances in a while, but I don't want that to be the case anymore. I just cannot receive God's blessings and not pass them on." And there's a scripture somewhere about how God gives us excess so that we can take care of our needs, but also have enough to help others. Pastor Bill, please use this to help people who need food, who need clothes, who need medicine, or whatever. I want to make sure someone else has a meal to sit down to, and hopefully there will be a few less tears shed tonight. He sent over $2,200. A radio listener. You know, and then I get a call this week, "Bill, we have 26 children at a middle school here. They're not going to have any food on the weekend. Can you help?" Well, if you're listening, Paul, I want you to know that you just fed all of those children. Amen. You see, really, when you think about all of it, as a matter of fact, there's still 26 children. They just reached out to me again saying, "Bill, there's 14 Fridays left before school is out. We have 26 kids. They're not going to go home with anything on the weekend." That's in our own city. How much more in Mexico? Are you listening to me? Oh, loved one, listen. The Bible, Love Never Fails International, you know, was built on that scripture, Proverbs 19:17. "He who hath pity upon the poor." Pity, not the emotion of "I feel sorry for you," but meaning you do something about it. Not a handout out, but a hand up in life. Amen? "He who hath pity upon the poor," listen to this incredible thing, "lends unto God, a loan unto God. And God says, and I'll pay back what has been given." That's one of that scripture that God gave me all those years ago for LNFI has sustained the work all over the world, Africa to Mexico, amen, through the schools, all that has happened. And you know, it's just a glory to see that. It's an investment. Lending to God is an investment. And here's the deal. I'm going to ask you to give in a minute, and I'm going to really, this time, I'm not asking, I'm begging. We have more work to do this year than we have ever had, ever, in Mexico. Whole different time for Mexico and the work that we're about to go do. Listen, don't define how God's going to give it back to you. I don't know how he's going to do that, but I know he does. And may I tell you that God's definition is better than your definition? Amen? And it's so important So this morning you say, well, Bill, what are you doing? I'm asking you. I'm asking you right now as the ushers come forth. I'm asking you to give an exceedingly abundantly offering for the work that we do in Mexico, for the orphanage and so forth. The Bible says in Proverbs 28, 27, he who gives to the poor will not lack. Isn't that a great promise? For God's word, God doesn't lie. God says in his word in Proverbs 21, 13, whoever shuts his eyes to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be heard. Listen, I am so excited this year, all that God is going to do, the new doors that God is going to open. And I could not ask for two better servants of the Lord who love these children with all of their heart. And not only, they're like a mother and father to those children, just like those that go on the mission team. But may I say, the last time Steve and Carol and I, when we went down to the orphanage together, just the three of us, when I saw the love that those children have for them, I was almost crying. And then when we were leaving to get back in the car to go back to fly back here to Fort Worth, and I looked at Steve, and I saw tears running down his cheeks. Because, see, he really loves these kids. And that's exactly what we need. Amen? What a blessing it is. Amen. So thank you for giving today. Father, we praise you. And Lord, all the new things that's going to happen in 2020. Lord, Steve and Carol, you raised them up for us to send them out. And Lord, I can't wait to see the great things that you're going to do in 2020 through them and through this church with the support and the finances, Lord, to do incredible things in the mission field that you've called us to, our global work. So, Lord, we just give you thanks that you have counted us worthy to do this work, to love these children, to change lives, to give them a hope and a future, to let them experience, Father, love that they have not ever experienced. And Lord, for that little 18-month-old baby, we know, Lord, without saying anything, what the cartel did. We know what they did. And I pray in Jesus' name that that little child, that your hand be upon him and you raise him up to be a mighty prophet, a mighty evangelist, a mighty man of God. For you never waste one painful experience in our lives. So we bless you. We give you praise, glory, and honor in this place this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray. And the church says, amen. God is good. Let's stand to our feet this morning, shall we? The Lord bless you this morning. Thank you for giving. First-time visitor, I'm going to be departing over to the Welcome Center. I'd love to meet you there.